it goes on. It's carried on. And it's carried on in his church. The Lord Jesus left his organism on this earth, and it's the church. And as we heard last night, it's the pillar and ground of the truth. It was last night you brought that up, wasn't it? And Christ died for the church. He shed his blood for the church. And the church is that organism on earth that carries on the work of Christ that he left with the apostles when he left. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you, is what our Savior said to the apostles before he left them to carry on the work that he was brought here to do. I feel like the gospel is all of that. Any good news that came from Jesus to us is the gospel. And in that, the work of God and the grace of God is going to be carried on through with his organism. And I don't say organization, I say organism. I do believe it's orderly, the way that it functions. I believe when Jesus said, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do in John 17, I believe the work he came here to do was get that started that would carry on after he left. And Christ set some in the church, first apostles. And so they were the ones that he used as the building blocks. In fact, even called them the foundation and himself the chief cornerstone. So he said the foundation of the church that he put on this earth was the apostles. And Christ the chief cornerstone. So the building, of course, I only know one thing about a cornerstone. And what it does is it gives you the measurement that squares the whole building. When we put up our building, we had a corner. We just took one corner, that one corner, and we made it the perfect lineup. I don't know how else to say it. The ruler of where everything else was going to be measured from. And then that corner, whatever corner it was, I believe it was the right corner we started at. Then that corner there had to measure with that, had to plumb line up to that one. Then every corner had to plumb line to the one corner that was the cornerstone, so to speak. Then the whole building, when we got it plumbed from that and put it all together, when we got it all together, everything went right in its place. And the building was fitly framed together from that. So the Lord has done that work in his church, and he's done it. You ought to be glad if you're a part of that.
That's right.
And if he's put a church in your life, you'd be glad that you got a church in your life. And Christ shed his blood to purchase the church, Acts 20:28. And so, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, Paul and Barnabas here in Acts 13 were sent out, called out by the Holy Ghost, but authority through the church in verses 1 through 4 of Acts 13 here before us. And they were sent out by the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost told the church to send them out. So those things that are not associated with the church, they call parachurch, they don't really line up with the church. If they're parachurch, they're outside the church. Only those things that line up inside the church, God puts his approval upon. The reason you get baptized after you get saved is to join up with the church. They that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day they were added unto them, that is the church in existence at Jerusalem, about 3,000 souls. So you got the building of the church, Christ setting it up while he was here on this earth, to carry on his work on this earth. You wouldn't have it carried on if it wasn't for local churches in the past that sent men out, sent them ahead, and had them erect the church for the name of the Lord Jesus. So I'm a church man, if you don't know it. I'm a very much church man. And when I preach tonight, I want to speak to you concerning why Paul and Barnabas were in the ministry they were in. Now, in this area that they were in at this time, was in the area of Galatia. And when Paul wrote to the Galatian churches, and that's what it says in Galatians 1, he wrote to the churches that were in Galatia, because there was more than one. See, Galatia was not a town. Galatia wasn't like Benton or like Draffenville. Galatia was a region like the state of Kentucky. It was a larger place. Now, I know I'm giving you some historical overview here. It's because I've been doing a study on Galatians, and I've been preaching through the book of Acts in my church. And I just want to say tonight that I'm not going to be dragging you through theological things that are going to wear you out. Right. If anything, it ought to bless you that the Lord has given us these truths that are before us in the Word of God. If it says he wrote to the churches of Galatia, or churches in Galatia, then there was more than one.
Yes, sir.
And this where he was when he preaches this message in Acts 13, later on after he's been sent out by the church, after he's been laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas and sent them out, after they had been sent, this is the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul.
Right.
And his purpose was to start churches. Excuse me, hear me, amen.
That's right.
I didn't get a lot of amens, but that was his purpose. His purpose was to start churches, local, visible assemblies, where people got together in like precious faith,
amen,
and worshiped and prayed and was used of God to reach that region. It's the church's job to reach the region that it's been put in. So we're here tonight under the authority of Christ.
Right.
Not our own, but the authority of Christ.
Right.
And I'm blessed to have been raised around that kind of doctrine in my life. My daddy was a Baptist pastor. So church is important to me as it was to him, because he raised me that way. And he raised me that there wasn't nothing more. We didn't ask Dad if we was going to church on Wednesday night, should we get ready to go to church? He didn't ask him. He didn't say, well, could I stay at home tonight and watch Bonanza?
No.
Everybody got ready to go to church.
Yeah.
Now,
automatic.
It was no question about it.
Amen.
So here in Acts, the Apostle Paul is in his first missionary thrust. And so, being what he was, the Bible makes it clear that preaching is what pleases God. And so when Paul got to this place in Galatia, he had an open door. Now, all I really got tonight is that I want to preach tonight on an open door. I want to preach on that. And we ought to thank God that there's been some
Amen.
Openings for us to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And to help people with the gospel. Now, I'm not going to read this whole chapter, because I can't preach the whole chapter. I won't be able to. I took an hour and a half preaching one verse last night. And I'm going to take a verse and I'm going to elaborate on it. I'm going to preach to you about the heart of the preacher when he has opportunity to do something for God, and he's in a place where he can. Now, if you read the whole chapter, you're going to find out that Paul was in a synagogue, and that he preached in a synagogue, and the law had been read. The priest had stood up, the Levite, who was there in that synagogue, in a Gentile area, and there were Jews and Gentiles there, and he read. Now, I'm just going to go ahead, I'll just read it, and then you can see how it works. Stand with me, if you would, in Acts 13, verse 14 is where I'm going to start my reading. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. They went to a place probably more than likely where there wouldn't be agreement with the gospel they were preaching, but they went to church. Now, verse 15. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Yeah. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed even nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Thank God. Amen. Hey, he was preaching it to all of them as though it was for them, particularly for each and every one. Can I say something to you? As long as there's a preacher preaching to you, it's for you.
That's right.
Yeah. It's not for somebody else. Oh, it's for you.
Right.
And Paul, being a Jew, called them men and brethren. And then ye that fear God, that was the Gentiles in Galatia that were also there in this synagogue. Mm-hmm. Now, when Paul started churches, he went to the place where religious people met for the most part. Because, I was going to say, why I believe that? Because an irreligious person, you have to take them. You have to take them a long ways to get them to understand what it's even anything's about.
That's right.
But those that have been surrounded by the law are those that are already, there's some logs to throw in the fire.
That's right.
Some truth.
Right.
And him being a Jew, as he was, he went to a place where Jews met. Mm-hmm. But now he's going to preach to a bunch of people who don't agree with him. You know what? It's easy to preach to a bunch of people that agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You're good. Amen. Glory to God. You're right, preacher. Whee! You got it. But they want to know whoopee, glory to God, while he was preaching. Y'all hear me, ain't you? That's not what stirs the man of God necessarily.
Right.
He's going to preach what God lays on his heart and preach the truth to you.
Amen.
And if you don't amen him and he knows he's preaching the truth, he's going to preach it anyway.
Amen.
He's going to tell you. He's going to tell you the truth. So Paul is in a synagogue that does not believe Jesus is the Messiah. They do not believe the Messiah has yet come. So he's going to preach to them about the Messiah. That's the gospel. Amen. He's going to preach to them about something they don't even agree with while he's there. Why would a preacher preach a whole message to a bunch of people that wouldn't agree with him, knowing they wouldn't agree with them, preach it anyways? Because there's always hope somebody will.
Yeah.
The truth will make you free. So he's going to preach the truth to them. Now, I'm going to tell you this. He laid out who the Messiah was. A Savior, he said. Jesus. He's saying now, the Savior has come. You better believe it. Now that's, he said that? Well, not in those words, but he did say that he raised him up for you. To you is the word of this salvation sent, verse 26.
Amen.
For they that, now verse 27, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which I read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Now, I'm going to close with my reading there this evening. I want to close there. I may read the rest of it after you sit down. Y'all act like you're a little tired tonight. And we all, you do act too, though, like, you know, maybe this is some new ground you haven't thought about for a while. So you're listening. You're sucking it up like a sponge. I'm glad you are. I want you to know I still stand the same way I always did. If you listen to me preach 25 years ago about church, I preach the same way then as I do now. Believe the same way then as I do now. In fact, learned much of it under Dr. Percy Ray and my dad. And Dr. Ray, they called him a Baptist bride. But you know what I really believe? Everybody who's saved has the right doctrine.
That's right. That's right.
And everybody who's in the bride has the right doctrine.
That's right.
Amen. I believe that. And I believe the Holy Ghost guides you into all truth.
That's
That's what he was sent here for. So I have a problem with people that don't have their life's blood in the truth. And then when they're shown the truth, they can't see the truth. There's a problem in with their vision. Something wrong. So what I'm wanting to do tonight, whether you agree with me or you don't agree with me about what I've already said about the church and about the purpose of the church, and I'm glad, Brother Pastor, because I do agree. And I do believe, according to what I've talked to Brother Justin about, there's a man he told me, is it that man you went to school for? He's a real strong church man? Who was it you told me about that day? Your brother, the one who's here now. Well, okay, I'm not preaching this to get a feather in my cap with you because I didn't remember it was you. So I'm glad you agree with me and I didn't even ask. I didn't ask him what he thought about the doctrine of the church. And so, because I'm here to tell you what the doctrine of the church is out of the Bible. You can argue with me all day. You'll be blue in the face by the time you get done. And if you say you think you're going to whoop me in it, then you better bring your lunch because you're in trouble. It's going to take some time. So I'm going to open the Bible and show you out of the Bible what the Bible says and how it lays it down. So, and I'm going to try to head somewhere tonight. I don't know how it's all going to get together. The Lord spoke my heart about this afternoon. They really spoke to me down here on the front row about some things, about what I was preaching tonight, and I didn't know when I was going to be in Acts 13 or if I was even going to be, but today I knew it, and I knew I was going to be here, and I want you to know something. If you got a place, thank God, if you got a place, woo, you're blessed.
Blessed beyond me.
Because there's very few places in America that are left where there's any corn in the crib.
Amen. Amen.
I kind of want to preach on that thing about something getting open so you can get what you need for your soul to sustain you in life. Because if you ain't got it, you ain't making it.
Right.
It's not only you are what you eat, you ain't nothing if you don't eat.
That's right.
You're going to die if you don't eat.
That's right.
I don't know how long it'll take you. Something might take a little longer. You got a little bit of stuff you can live off of for a while. But you're still going to die if you quit eating. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. So I want you to think about the church tonight, too, as the storehouse.
Yes.
Because the Bible calls it that. And it says, let every man lay by him in store upon the first day of the week. Bring your tithes to the storehouse. He didn't say send them. He said bring them. So that's a place.
Yeah.
And in the storehouse that's spoken of in Malachi 3. He'll open the windows of heaven. When you bring your tithes and offerings to his storehouse, he'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, and won't be room to receive it. Now, if you're not tithing and you're still blessed, then the devil's being good to you, and the Lord's allowing it. But anyways, I'll just go ahead and say that. I don't think the Rockefellers are saved, but they're richer than I am. But that doesn't make them right because they got money. And because God's blessings are on them, the Mormons build new buildings all over America and pay for it as they go up. So let's pray right now. Father, pray you'd help me tonight. Pray you'd help us as we think about these scriptures that are before us. I ask you, Lord, to open up the hearts of people that they might know that there is a place where they can get corn. There's a place where they can get in the famine something that'll sustain them, something that's opened for them. And I'm asking you now to help me, Lord, as I endeavor to get to that place. I pray you'd help me as I go and as I travel there with my friends tonight. And with the church here, New Hope Baptist Church, and other churches represented, Lord, Brother Bryant, Brother Brandon, he's a pastor, and he's got a church, and Brother Justin has a church, and Lord, Sister Mona's here tonight, she has a church. So there's some churches represented here tonight that ain't New Hope Baptist, and I'm a pastor, and I have a church. So Lord, I want to thank you for letting us have a place where we can get some corn, some feeding.
Amen.
Lord, I pray you'd help us as we consider these wonderful truths. Help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to try to preach fast. I am going to try to preach fast and hurry up, because if I don't, I'm going to be here too long. And Brother Justin's going to preach tonight. I believe he is. I believe he's on schedule to preach tonight. So what I want to preach to you a little bit is on this thought. Don't ever open the door to a preacher unless you expect to hear something from him. Now that's not my title. That's just my thought. What I told you what the title was, didn't I?
Open door.
An open door. Now what they do here is they give Paul an opportunity to say something.
Yeah.
Whew, that's kind of a rough thing to do. I've been in some preaching meetings where they didn't know me, but they knew I was an evangelist, and they'd heard about me, but they'd not heard me preach. And they asked me, could you preach here today? You got anything? Don't open the door for a preacher. And don't ask a preacher a question wherever, at a table, on the phone, in the church building, whatever. If you don't really want an answer, and you know what the answer might be, and it might go against something that you're thinking about, then you better just don't ask him. Because if the door gets open, he's walking in it. That's just the way a preacher is. He's going to walk through it. And so when Paul was there and he heard him read the law, he was going to take him farther than the law. He was going to take him to the lawgiver. And he was going to take him to the law keeper.
That's right.
He took him to Jesus. And he told him later, if you continue reading, that Christ was buried, and that surely what David wrote couldn't have been about himself, because David saw corruption, and David went to the grave and saw corruption. But the one that he spoke about, and it says it in the second Psalm, which tells me something that even the divisions of the King James Bible must be pretty right. Because if you read what Paul said about the second Psalm, and you go to Psalm chapter 2, the second Psalm, you'll find those verses in the second Psalm that he quotes here in Acts 13. Now, I'm not reading all that to you. For some, for sake of time, I'm not reading it all to you. I will go on, and I'll give you the end of this chapter, because I'm not going to preach the whole end yet, but I'm going to just give you an idea what goes on. Paul preaches, and he tells and he exhorts the Jews after the service to carry on in the grace of God. And then the Gentiles that were there, because he said, men and brethren, and all ye that fear the Lord, which is the Gentiles that were gathered in that synagogue, which means there's Gentiles in that synagogue, because it says so later in the chapter. I'm not going to take you to all the verses. You can go home and read it if you want to, test me. If you want to see if I'm telling you the truth. So the Gentiles, later, the Jews, he tells them that, and the Gentiles say, "Whoa, we want to hear this again." But them Jews found out that there was people that really listened to Paul, and they apparently disagreed. And isn't it something that in a synagogue, in the house of God, where the law of God is, somebody would disagree with what the preacher preached? And they must have got together and jabberwocked. You know, he preached that. He shouldn't have preached that. He knows we don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. He knows we don't. What's he preaching? Blah, 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 blah. And he's wagging their tongue against Paul. And then when they came back, they heard that the Gentiles wanted to hear it again. They began to speak blasphemies against Paul and Barnabas, and speak against the preachers publicly, and try to get the Gentiles not to listen to them. But you know what ends up happening, don't you? They must have listened, because there was a church got started in Galatia. This must have been one of them, because when he writes to the Galatians, he doesn't write to them as Jews, he writes to them as Gentiles.
That's right.
So them Gentiles must have believed and got saved. And a church was started there for them to congregate in and hear the truth in. Of course, them Judaizers, them Jews got back in there and tried to cut the church all apart with their doctrine and make things divide and all that. And Paul writes to them and he even says, I stand in doubt of you. How could you believe this stuff after you've heard the gospel from me like you've heard it? How could you go with them? What I want to know is how can you who are saved or say you're saved go with some other stupid, filthy doctrine that's perverted.
Right.
According to Scripture.
Right.
How do you do that? How could you?
Right.
Now say something else. The synagogue and what they taught didn't change Paul's mind about what he believed. So I don't care what church you would go to and what you'd hear. If you've got the truth, they ain't going to sway you.
That's right. That's right.
They're not going to. You're welcome.
Right.
If it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. The elect ain't going to be deceived.
They ain't going to be deceived.
If only it was possible. What's that verse saying? That's like a rhetorical statement.
Right.
You know what it means is the elect can't be.
That's right.
Can't be fooled. Cannot be.
Right.
So where I'm at now is many, all that were ordained eternal life believed. Uh-huh. Was that verse 48? All that were ordained unto eternal life believed, is that verse 48? I looked at it today, I thought I was right about that verse. So, that sounds strange to some folk, but God knew who was there who would listen.
That's right.
So he put Paul there. So it must also mean that somebody here is going to listen.
Amen.
Somebody here is going to listen to the preacher.
Amen.
Somebody might disagree. Somebody might agree. Somebody might say, well, it sounded pretty good. I'll hear him again. I'll just hear him again because it sounds good to me, but I'll hear him again.
Yeah.
They're all those people are in this setting right here in Acts 13. But because some of them did believe, and the Gentiles rejoiced. And then it says at the end of the chapter that all of them were rejoicing. That is, the disciples of the Lord were all rejoicing. And what were they rejoicing about? They'd been persecuted. They'd been blasphemed. And people had spoken against them. And they still had something to rejoice about.
That's right.
Here's how I know whether or not it's really important what you believe. Are you happy about it? Are you happy about it? If you stood before the Lord and gave account of what you believe, could you be happy about it? I mean, it does matter what the Lord thinks about what you believe, doesn't it?
Right.
It matters. It matters. It does matter. Now, I may sound like somebody that just keeps hitting that bell every time. I know every time I'm here, I say something about church. But every time I'm here, I say something about reading your Bible, too.
That's right.
Don't I, Bill? Don't I, Randy? I say, They talk to each other. Yeah, we knew he'd get on it one night, anyways, he'd say something about it.
Right.
So this just happens to be the night that I'm going to hammer this bell for a while. Hit it. Make it go ding, ding, ding. And I may do what I preached on Sunday night. I may disturb you. It might be becoming a disturbing message until you finally say, you know what? I fought this truth, but it can't be that I'm right because... the Bible's really too plain about this thing.
Right.
It's too clear about this doctrine. So Paul had an open door. Now it says he beckoned with his hand and said, give audience.
That's right.
You know what that means, don't you? Quit talking to each other while I'm preaching. Quit looking at the kid in front of you and smile at because they're so cute. That's not what it's about right now.
Right.
It's not about what we're going to figure on thinking about when we get done with this to talk about it, to keep y'all straight in your little group. I'm talking about what you're going to talk about, if you're going to talk about it. Here's the whole issue. The whole issue is you got to take issue with what this book says about why Paul was sent out by a church to start churches.
Right. Amen.
And I believe he was led to be there. Yes, you know, a need doesn't constitute a lead. There's a lot of needs in a lot of places, but if there's not a call to go there, then you ain't going to get nothing done when you get there. But if God has led you and called you to go to that specific spot and do what he's called you to do. Hey, you know what I found out about every time God's really put something in me to have me go somewhere? There's always an open door. Always.
Amen.
And a man of God is going to, he gets a chance. He didn't know none of them people. I'll guarantee you when they got done, they knew who he was. I'll guarantee you when they got done, they knew what he believed.
Yeah.
And I'll guarantee you when he got done, they realized they were listening to a man that wasn't really concerned about whether they agreed with him or not. He was going to preach the truth anyway.
Right.
He didn't act like he was too concerned about it, did he? He didn't say, now, whether you, I hope you believe me. I hope I'm not offending anybody. I like the way you preach. I never had, listen, I know apologetics comes from some Latin word or something, maybe. Might even be a Hebrew word for all I know. I don't know where the word apologetics came from. But it just sounds too apologetic to me to be preaching. I mean, when Jesus preached, and if you want to have me raise Jesus up tonight, I'll raise him up right now. When the scribes and Pharisees and all the people heard him preach, all the people said, he preaches with authority and not as the scribes. And he attacked the man. You read Matthew 23. He knew who they were. He knew who he was saying it to. And he just blasted them with it. And they crucified him. And they thought because they crucified him, they'd never have to hear that mess no more. But he had 11 fellers that he'd schooled. And they filled Jerusalem with that doctrine. And it says the church in Jerusalem was persecuted. So that means there was an assembly of people in Jerusalem that had been baptized and whatnot on the day of Pentecost and all that. And they were still meeting together. In fact, the church grew so much in one place, it says there was 8,000 added to the church. In one other place, 5,000. And 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, then 5,000 and 8,000. That's a pretty good number of folk in Jerusalem. And they got so persecuted that they were literally driven out of the city of Jerusalem. But it says they went everywhere preaching the word of God. See, one thing you can't do, you can't stop somebody whether you persecute them or not. You agree with them or disagree with them. If they got the truth, you ain't going to stop them.
That's exactly right.
You ain't going to stop a preacher from preaching. No, you in fact give them a chance. I got an open door tonight.
Yeah, amen.
I don't think they came to listen to you tonight. I think they came to hear me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I say, not you. Brother Justin came here to hear him too. Okay, yeah. But I don't know anybody else that they came to hear. You stand up and tell them what you think about the Bible right now. Or what you think about what Brother Tim said about it. In fact, maybe you shouldn't say what you think Brother Tim's saying about it. Because you'd paint your face and who you are. You'd be on the warpath like an Indian. If you disagree. And that won't hurt you if I say that. If you agree, you don't care that I said that. Amen.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen, preacher.
Amen, Brother Tim, you're right. You're right. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Well, you see, I didn't need that. Well, I didn't need it from you. I got it from myself. And I feel like the Holy Ghost is the one who put his finger on this portion of Scripture for me tonight. And about this open door business, I want to ask you another question right now. What doors are in front of you that have been opened by the Lord? I'm going to say this. The only reason you're really here tonight as a visitor, and you say, well, I'm not a visitor. I come so much, I'm not a visitor anymore. Well, but you're not a member here, and you've come. And yes, you love this church, and you come all the time, like from, used to be Indiana, and now it's Missouri, state of misery. But, and then others come from Michigan, you know. And then others come from now Oklahoma and North Carolina. So there's been an open door, isn't there? In West Virginia. That's where I live. Anyway, so it's an open door, isn't it?
Right.
Y'all understand? Listen to what I'm saying. God has put an open door in front of you. So everybody here's got an open door. And there's a purpose for an open door. When God gave that open door to Paul, there was a purpose back of it. Paul had something in mind. Paul knew why he was there. Paul knew he'd been sent. So he beckons with his hand. He beckons with his hand. Says he does. I read to you already. He beckoned with his hand. And I'm just going to give you, a term that's a military term. Now hear this. Give audience.
Yep.
Listen to me. Because the rulers of the synagogue said, if you got anything to speak, say on. Yep. Which means you got the open door. You got the floor now. Amen. So he took it. Now he didn't go in there and act like a fool and just take over without.
Right.
He didn't
right.
do that. But when he had the open door.
Yeah.
You know what some folk try to do? Well, they get the battering rams and they start banging on the door. Get it open. Well, I'll tell you what, bro, when I was first in evangelism, I opened a few doors I wish that never opened. I had to say to God, I'm sorry that door open, Lord. Anyway, you know, you ever done that? Yeah, okay, you'll admit it. Brandon, you probably have to, haven't you? Okay, well, anyways. But what about them places where God's opened the doors? And when God opens a door, there really ain't no reason not to believe it. Now, if a door's open, one thing I've learned about a door is there's two sides to it. You're either in or you're outside the door. You're either inside the door or outside the door. Now, there's one door that I'm very familiar with. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. You know what that's telling me, don't you? That everybody who's genuinely saved is hunting up pasture and looking for a place to graze and loves to eat the things of God. And they're always looking for a place. They'll go in and out and find. They're hunting it up. We got to have a place where we can graze. We got to have a place where we can eat. Sheep, you know, I've done studies on them. You had sheep a little while, didn't you? You know, and the thing that you know about sheep that I learned about them in studying them is that they're a very social animal. In fact, if a sheep will literally get diseases and get sickly if it's not associated with other sheep. It's just a natural thing for sheep to hang around sheep. Well, it's one of the reasons we like to get together. If we're sheep, why we like to get together? Because it's a natural thing. It's a flock. It's a fold. You see, and I've used that illustration before. This is representative of a flock in this way. That every time I open a page, I'm folding over a page to another in the same fold. It all folds up. It all folds. You know, when you fold a book, you know what I'm talking about? It's called folding. Turning the page, fold it. When you fold it, all that's in there is still together.
Right.
That's why the Bible calls it a fold, the sheep fold, in John chapter 10. Sheep are social animals, and they love to be with one another. They love to be together.
Yeah.
And so that's why the Lord set it up for Paul to start churches. Because
yeah.
That's the way his sheep function. It's how they function. Hey, if you can go without church, you can lay out a church.
Yeah. Come on.
You a sheep?
No.
You gotta have it.
Right.
Now, a door, as I said, Jesus said that I'm the door, and by me, it's not by any other way, it's by him that you're gonna get in.
Right.
By me, if any man enter in,
right,
he shall be saved. If he doesn't, by me. By or through my work. He comes through the door by my own work. And when he gets in there, then he goes in and out and finds pasture. Everybody all right tonight?
Yeah.
I'm giving you the Bible. Listen, it was a door. Anytime a door opens, there's an opportunity for you to go somewhere. Opportunity for you to do something. You agree with me? So what's this about me then? Hey, have you got loved ones that need God? Are you praying for an open door for your loved ones so you can talk to them about the Lord? Are you praying for an open door for your neighbors? You know, there's only one reason that your neighbors would even inquire about anything about you. It's because they see something in you that kind of points to the fact that you're different than the rest of the world. Huh?
Right.
I mean, my neighbors see me every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. They see me leave the house. And they know why. They know I don't get home many nights until 10:30, 11 o'clock, sometimes midnight. And I have Timothy class, and my men will sit around after I get done teaching for 2 hours, want to talk to me, drink coffee. Sometimes I get home at midnight. My wife says, glad you could make it home to give me a kiss before I go to sleep. Hello. We get together. We want to be together. We love to be together. It's part of our life. It's an open door. Listen, God opens doors by showing people things. They must have seen something in Paul and Barnabas that said, you got anything to say? I wonder what they see in you to ask you. You got anything to say? I need to know something about you. I need to ask you why are you doing this? Man across the road just moved in not long ago. And I went over there and talked to him a little bit the other day. He come right on the street with me. He calls me Tim. That's how he knows me. I call him Billy. That's his name. And we got over there, got to talking. And I don't know how I had an open door. I started telling him about how good God had been to me, how I ended up here, how I ended up in West Virginia. I started talking to him about how God put me there. He started crying one time. And he went like, oh, I got to stop that. He got touched. Me talking to him about how God had been so good to me. I got touched too. It kind of like when you get by fire, if you get too close to it, the fire gets with you. Hello? Yeah. You ever been around fire like that? Well, then listen, that is what happened with some of the people after Paul got done preaching. His fire got on some of them Gentiles. Them Gentiles said, hey, we like what we're hearing. And listen, it got so bad with the Jews that Paul said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You count yourself unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Wait, they kicked the dust off their feet of the Jews, but they helped the Gentiles in the same town. And I'll guarantee they split them from the synagogue. They caused the church split. Paul and Barnabas did. Y'all, come on. They caused the church split. Ain't no doubt about it. And them Gentiles left that synagogue and listened to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas stayed there, it says, for some time and helped them. Laid a foundation for them. And a bunch of them believed. That's what it says. Well, I like it when that happens, brother. I like when the ears get open after the door gets open. And then like Lydia, the heart gets open. God opened Lydia's heart. Thank God for them open doors. Thank God for them things that God opens. Thank God for that. I'm telling you this. Listen, the purpose of us being here is so that we'll walk through the things that God puts in front of us to serve Him with. That's the purpose of the church. That's the purpose of being saved. Would you like others to come in here and hear the truth? You say, well, they already know about us. Well, they know so much about you that they talk to you about it? Or do they know so much about it that they talk to each other about it all the time, what goes on up there, and them crazy people? Especially when there's a car there from West Virginia, they stay there all night. That guy just keeps them. Yeah. So open. I'm trying to get to it. God opened the door, had the door built in the side of the ark so that Noah and his family and all the animals could get in. The next time the door got opened was after God shut it after the flood. And then Matthew 25, those five foolish virgins go out to get oil, and they come back and the door shut. And they knock to get in, and the Lord told them, too late!
Too late.
The door's closed. Hey, can I ask you a question? Do you feel like the door's open for you right now? to be with those wise virgins and to stay with them and to get the kind of oil they got, not to go somewhere else and get it. Because if you try to go somewhere else and get it and come back, the door might be shut when you get back. It might be too late. It could be too late for some folk. I'm trying to help you. But I'm telling you right now what I believe. I'm telling you what I know right now what I believe. I believe exactly what Paul said. It is for you who are hearing it right now. You're hearing it right now. It is for you. I'm preaching to you about how only one can save you. There's only one that can save you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one can save you. He did all the work. If you read what Paul preached, that's what he preached. That's what he preached. I got no different message. If you're going to get saved, you ain't going to get saved because Brother Tim saves you. Now, you might get saved while I'm preaching. Some folk have. Or after I got done preaching. Well, some folk have just found out they got lost through my preaching, got saved another time. I don't care. You know what I care about? Is that the open door let me preach something to them. Amen. I'm telling you, open door.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it. Huh. I like this. I like the different things that God spoke to my heart about concerning this. I want you to go to Genesis with me. Genesis. I'm going to just take you to my last place I was going to take you to, which means I might be close to giving you the last thing. That doesn't mean I'm close to exactly being done, but I'm pretty close to giving you the last thing God spoke to my heart about concerning an open door. Now, most of you are familiar with the story of Joseph, aren't you? Huh? How God put Joseph where he put him. That God did it. Now, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe God put me where I'm at tonight.
Amen.
I believe God put me here, and he let me leave where he put me for a while to be a pastor. Let me come and preach to you tonight. I believe he raised me back up to preach. I even talked to him about it tonight while I was in the garage eating some blueberries. I got out of the refrigerator. A couple handfuls of blueberries. Thought that's good dessert. Before I come over here, I said, Lord, why you still got me alive? Why you still got me preaching? How come you let me come here? Because, Lord, I know it's you. How come you're so good to me? Let me come. Let me ask you a question. Why are you still coming here? Well, we'll come here now because Brother Justin and Brother Al Winslow are here. Well, that's all right. You have to put up with me while you listen to them. It's fine if that be the case. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the major case. I don't think it is. But I'll say this. I believe with all my heart that if God don't open the door, it won't get open. Because he said if I open it, no man can shut it. And if I shut it, no man can open it.
Amen.
So I'm going to tell you why I believe I'm going to tell you why I believe each and every one of you here tonight, including Brother Brandon. I heard he wanted to come here and preach. That's what I heard. I know you came here because you love this church, but you wanted one of the reasons you did want to hear me preach. I hope I hadn't disappointed you. But anyway, all I'm going to say is God let him come or he wouldn't be here. God let this brother come to my camp meeting. I thank God all the time. So is my church. Well, Justin, I'm just going to tell you, brother, I mean it with all my heart. First time I met this man, in my fellowship hall, I had never met him before. He shook my hand. He said, I love you, brother. You don't hear preachers say that to other preachers much when they first meet somebody, not when the first time they meet them. Man, something started ringing in my soul. Oh, bing, bang, 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 bang. I mean, I'm telling you. And I remember what I told you. I love you too.
Yeah.
And I meant it. Hey, Dan. Well, I'm not irritating you. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that to disturb you. I'm trying to make you remember something. But like first times we met, why'd God let our paths cross? Why are you here now? Open door. It's God. Now, you can say what you want. According to Acts 17, God set the bounds of our habitation. Which means if he hadn't set my bounds, I wouldn't be. If he hadn't set them to be here, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
You wouldn't be able to come. You wouldn't be able to come from Missouri if God had opened the door.
Right.
You wouldn't be able. How'd you get here from jolly old England? You want some tea and crumpets? I've been practicing. Anyways, but you know, hey, isn't it a blessing? How come you got to go to the doctor's today, Sean, and get back safe even while your wife was driving? I know, that's kind of funny. Say it. At least nothing else. Most of you are used to advertisement every 15 minutes, so I got your attention back again.
Yeah.
But, you know, how come you're here?
Yeah.
Well, I was born in this area. That's why. Well, now, wait a minute. You don't believe God's in control of where you were born? And the church you're in, and the people you've met,
yeah.
And the preachers you've met, and the truth of the gospel you've heard. Huh? Yeah. Huh?
Yep.
Huh? 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 Okay, amen. Yes, 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 yes. Amen a million times.
Yep.
So you're all in Genesis 41 now, ain't you? You thought I forgot. I kind of did. I kind of got caught up. Thinking about those other things again. But nonetheless, I want you to see these verses. Starting in verse number, I'll start in verse number 53. The 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do.
Yep.
And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph, what'd he do? What'd he do? He opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in Egypt. And all countries came unto Egypt to Joseph, for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all lands. Now I want to ask you another question. Some of you haven't had to travel a long ways to get the corn. Some of you already live in the land where the corn is and where the corn crib has been opened.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say this. There's a lot of places I'm at. There ain't no opened corn crib in the church. There ain't no feeding going on. People, famine, man, famine. Can I ask you what causes you to come to the crib? Corn's there. And there's a famine everywhere else. And if you're going to get it, you're going to have to get it where it's opened. Who was in control? I want to ask you this now. Who was in control of the famine? Ain't Mother Nature who's in control of the weather. So why would God make it so that you had to come to a certain place to get your corn? Huh?
Right.
How is it that God sent you where he sent you, sent you where he sent you, sent me where he sent me, sent him where he sent him? Why? Why? Because God already knew there was going to be a famine, and so he put a crib so you could be there and get the corn. Hey, can I ask you a question? How many of you have gone to the crib to get the corn? You know what you could say? There's all kinds of corn in the crib, but if you never go down to get it, if you never do anything to go and get it, you're never going to get it.
Right, right.
But how is it that it was all opened? Who was Joseph? Was he Jesus? I want Jesus. He's a type of Jesus. He was. In many ways, hated by his brethren without a cause, sold as a slave,
right.
In a land that he was a stranger to,
right.
thrown in prison, hated for no reason, lied on, falsely accused. All those things were in life. Listen, did that thwart? I'm asking you a question. Did that thwart the plan of God? No! Hey, let me tell you something about trouble. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on my side. I used to have a choir record. I'd come home from work and I'd put that 33 in the third record. I tell you how old I am. I didn't have CDs. It ain't even cassette tapes even. Had a 33 in the third record. And I'd put my earphones on my old Pioneer receiver, put it on my record player, and put that one song in particular on. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. This is before I ever pastored. I didn't know what the Lord was going to put me through. But he was telling me a long time ago, be still, my soul. Well, I'm on your side, boy. In every change, I'll remain with you. Doesn't matter what you go through. Doesn't matter the storms. Hey, he's still the storms, the wind and the water still know his voice when he talks.
Amen.
They still know the voice of the Lord. They still do. And all my life, I can say what they sang tonight. God's been good to me all my days. I can look back and see. I can look ahead and see he's going to be. I can look right now and see that he is. Right now he is. I'm asking you, where's the storehouse? Where's the open crib? Now hear me. The storehouse in the Bible in the New Testament is the local New Testament church.
Right.
Not just any, but the local church that he has set up for you. And you know what children of Israel had to do? They had to move to where the corn was. If they hadn't, they'd have died. Now you can say what you want. Say as you want. It's easy for me because I'm a preacher and the corn crib goes everywhere I go. But I ain't always stayed in the same place to get the corn. Or to have the corn. I've had to have open doors in my life.
Right, right.
Now listen. There's a whole lot of ways to get the corn. A whole lot of ways to get the corn. You can get corn down at farmer's market. What about when the farmer's market ain't got it no more? What about when where you are, you can't get no more corn no more? What you gonna do? You're going to find where you can get it. And you're going to go to get it. You know why? You ain't going to survive if you don't.
Right.
You ain't going to make it if you don't. Now, I know Joseph was down there. He was in control of it all. I don't believe that Joseph shoveled the corn. But he opened the storehouses.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know that it says who shoveled the corn for sure. But he was there supervising all the corn. God had somebody in charge to say, this is how much corn you can have, this is how much corn you can have, and this is how much corn you can have. You know what I'm believing? Somehow or another, you're going to have to get down where the corn crib is. You might have to get on your knees to get it out. You might. Hey, have you ever ate the corn and not known it? How can that be? How can you be really famished and be in a land of great famine and get where there's great supply and get it and not know you got it? You're gonna know you got it. And if you ain't got it, you're gonna know too, because you're gonna get real hungry without it. You're going to get real famished without it. Y'all, listen to me. Please listen to me.
Amen.
In my own personal life, if I get corn, if it's in a corn crib, I have to somehow get it out. Have you ever got down and got it out of the crib? Have you ever got on your knees and thanked God for the corn? Listen, week after week after week, they had to come back to the same place to get the corn. They had to come back constantly for 7 years while the famine was on. All I know to tell you is this is what God told me to preach to you tonight. He told me to tell you right now there's corn in the crib. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, it's open.
Yep.
As of right now. But I can't tell you that another time. I can tell you now. Yep. I can tell you now. Because what I read tonight, when Paul preached to him, he said, it's for you. Mm-hmm. This saying is for you. What I'm preaching is for you. And what I'm telling you right now, I didn't have no outline, did I? All I had was, listen, all I got is a message about an open door. That's all I got. And all I can tell you right now is God told me, I can tell you this, really. Yeah. There's an open crib right now. Yeah. The storehouse is opened right now. But I can't tell you how long it's going to be open. Because I already talked to you about Matthew 25. There's a day when the door is shut. I be honest with you, that's all I got. Oh, I got a whole big outline out of Acts 13. I got a whole big outline on the whole chapter. But I got stopped at that thing about the preacher man having an open door to tell the people about the corn they need right now.
Amen.
That's all I can tell you. Will you come to get the corn? Because everywhere I go, it ain't open like this.
That's right.
Everywhere I go, my message ain't accepted everywhere.
That's right.
I ain't accepted everywhere I preach. I used to preach a lot of revivals. It wasn't accepted everywhere I preached. It was questioned. They wondered. There was many of them that were in disbelief before I ever left. Especially the preachers loved to argue with me. Of all things, preachers want to argue with me. Tell me I went too far.
Yeah.
Took it too far. Made it too hard.
Yep. Come on.
I'm telling you, I don't know that I've made it. How have I made it too hard tonight? Where's the corn? Is it available right now?
Yeah. Yes.
Listen, there's a famine everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But now where the corn crib's full. And there's no excuse to go hungry. If the corn crib's open.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm leaving you.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord spoke to my heart about this afternoon. That's all I got. That's where I'm at. Say, that's all you got. Really, if you think about it, you really got a lot. If you think about some of the things I said, you could hang out on a lot of them things and study them. And you can check me out. I dare you to.
Right.
I dare you to get in this Bible and prove me wrong about anything I preach tonight. Any one thing. You have an opportunity. You have an open door. And I'm going to close with this thought. You have an obligation.
Right.
Paul said, I'm debtor. You have an obligation to do what God's laid out in front of you in this time. Because this is your time. Lord, I thank you for letting me preach tonight. I thank you for letting me say the things I got to say. Lord, I know that we're not done with this service. I'm hoping it's more of an introduction to what Brother Justin's going to preach. And I'm sure, Lord, you're the one that's going to fill in all the blanks, if there are any. And you're the one that's going to smooth out the rough places and make the crooked places straight. So, Father, I'm asking you tonight to help every heart that heard what they heard tonight. Lord, might some of them get down on their knees and stick their hand in the corn. I believe it's around. And Lord, the corn I'm talking about for those that are lost is the corn that'll save them and sustain them for the rest of their lives. That we heard about this morning, the bread of life. Never hunger or thirst again because of it. Now, Father, I pray that I can't make it real to nobody. I can't make anybody hear what I preached. All I can do is preach it.
Yeah.
But I can say, as the Holy Ghost said to the churches in Revelation, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear.
Yeah.
What the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lord, that's how important it still is to you. You speak in your church. And I believe this is your church, and I believe you've spoken in it. Thank you. for this open door. I know Brother Pascal says it a lot. Got an open door. Preach your righteousness. All those things he says, I don't know the other one, can't remember. But Lord, that one sticks out in my mind. There's an open door. So Lord, and I didn't preach it because he said that. I feel like you laid this on my heart.
Amen.
So thank you for letting me preach it. Thank you for the liberty to preach it. Thank you for the call into the ministry and letting me be here tonight to say it. And I plead the blood of Jesus against the devil. I pray you'd break his jaw teeth out so he can't talk plain no more about these truths to somebody's heart. And stifle his voice in their heart who are taken captive by him at his will. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd free them through repentance and the acknowledging of the truth. If they won't acknowledge the truth, they'll never have repentance. And if they don't have repentance, then they'll still be bound by those things that are lies in their heart and in their lives. And I pray, God, you'd help them tonight, and I pray you'd help us all. We all need you. Lord, as we go on further, whatever you're going to do, we're leaving it with you. My obligation is now past for this night as of to this point, unless you tell me more. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a couple praying. Well, there's only one thing I know.